Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're going to talk about the Fairy Godmother Project, some events coming up, some ways you can get involved, and really just how the Fairy Godmother Project works with families in this area, families with pediatric cancer. Andy McConnell is back with us. Andy, it's always good to have you here. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Just before we get into some of these discussions, in case someone doesn't know, it's fairygodmotherproject.org is your website.
Correct.
You have a Facebook page, and you work, you focus on the parents of kids with our families that are dealing with pediatric cancer.
We do. Our mission is to ease the day-to-day life. So what we try to do is help with the things that they have to do, even though their child's in treatment and they're traveling to treatment, north or south or wherever it is they go. So we do things like house cleaning, lawn care. We support them with financial things like grocery cards, gas cards. We make meals. We also have – the families are assigned a lead volunteer, and that person is their go-to person who checks on them. And we just try and make it as easy as we can for the parents and sort of anticipate their needs. You know, for example, like when we had a hurricane supposedly coming, we put together that day hurricane boxes and put things together and had volunteers show up and deliver them so that they didn't have to worry about it. It's all about making it so they don't have to worry because they already have enough to worry about.
And we'll get into volunteers and things like that before we get out of here this morning. But one of the things, the great things I think with volunteers is you plug a person in where they've got the talents. Somebody might be thinking, well, I'd like to volunteer, but I can't possibly deal with the family.
Yeah, we have a lot of that. We have a lot of people who are like, I like what you do, but I don't want to be near these families because it's scary.
Yeah.
But then we have the opposite too, where people really want to be near the families. And there aren't that many volunteer jobs as an organization for them to interact with the families. There really isn't that much. Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff is kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff. It's the planning events. It's providing, being a meal delivery. Today's not my best day, Ted.
Sometimes it takes a while to get going.
Yeah, maybe I should have had some coffee.
I'm there.
Instead of this warm water you gave me. We have people that do delivery. So like this month we have a bunch of people who will come to the office and they'll take meals. They'll take a holiday gift basket that we've created for the families. And then other things that we get donated. Sometimes we'll have groups that donate blankets or that kind of thing. So we have delivery people. Then we have people who are interested in, and we poll our volunteers. What do you want to do? And then when we have things come up in that category, we try to reach out to them. So, and then we have a lot of in-the-office type things. When we have a child pass away, we have a lot of prep work for the child's funeral, and we have volunteers come in and help create the different memorial items the families want. There's really just such a wide variety of ways people can get involved. And then we do have people who are, they go through special training, but they work with our families and go to the services, and they're there just interacting with the people that are at the services because we usually provide volunteers to help with the food and to help greet people and everything. So
There's a place for volunteers, and I guess you can set it if you go to the website.
Yeah, and we do. Yeah, because it's the holidays, we don't get a lot of interest right now because people are so busy. But it's right as soon as the new year starts, we'll have we try to do a daytime training and then also an evening training regularly, so that people who work are able to come, and then also people who are free during the day are able to come to try and accommodate them.
You can also donate too.
Oh, I mean, if you must.
If that's
there always is a need for that too. Absolutely. And the reality is, we all are able to give in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to find those ways. Not everybody has the time to give, but some people have the financial ability to give, and vice versa. Or some have a little bit of time and a little bit of money. And, we need every person that believes in what we do, and however they can help us and however they want to get involved and however we can help them get involved, we're all in. So
one of the things we're going to talk about this morning is just what families deal with over the holidays. But before we get to that, it's the the story this week with former President Bush dying and their daughter dying, Robin dying when she was three from leukemia. And boy, that really struck me just because that was back, it would have been back in the days when kids who were diagnosed with leukemia, very few survived.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, because of what we do, I have been following that story. And when Barbara Bush died, I was just all over it. I probably was driving people crazy about it. But they were told there's nothing that can be done. Take her home and just, you know, enjoy your time with her. That's what they were told. And they refused to do that. And so they sought out treatment. And she was, I think it was about 7 months where she was at three, she was getting blood transfusions and doing all these things. And one of the things that I read that is just so sweet and, you know, and politically nobody cares my opinion anyway, but I didn't vote for the Bushes, but they just from a human standpoint.
Yeah.
So the rule was no one could cry in Robin's hospital room. And so...
I didn't know that.
Yes, that was their rule. And President Bush would excuse himself regularly to go to the bathroom because he always was getting choked up and teary. And they would joke that they wondered if Robin would think he had, like, the weakest bladder. And then Barbara Bush was quoted as saying something like, it was just that he had the tenderest heart. And... and, you know, just all these years, I'm going to get choked up. Ted, it's been like 12 minutes. I'm already almost crying.
Yeah.
But, you know, all these years had passed and the depth of their loss was still, it was still raw.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, how many years had it been? He was 94. So it probably had to have been 60 years ago that she died. And yet she was still such a theme in what he was looking forward to, in addition to Barbara, seeing her after he died.
That was when George W. Bush talked about that, and he got all choked up. And so you can see within the family, even with siblings that would not have known her.
Yeah.
That kind of thing just becomes part of your family.
Absolutely. And one of the other things that was said that really stuck with me was there was a story about the historian who did his biography. And obviously I've done a lot of reading about this, Ted. And they talked about how he had asked President Bush to read this letter that he had written to his mother about Robin after she had passed. And it was probably 10 years ago, he asked him to read it aloud. And when he got to this one part of the letter, he completely broke down.
Yeah.
And the historian was asked, like, why would you make him do that? And he said, well, to know somebody's heart. And President Bush broke in and said, you have to know what breaks it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that is the reality of child loss. It is not what people think. It is not they're going to get over it. It is a lifelong, it becomes part of their family culture. You know, every person that knew of the Bushes knew their story and they knew about Robin because it's such an important part. Just because a child dies doesn't mean that those parents are done loving and parenting that child. And I think that people forget that. And I think that people get impatient with it. You know, like there are probably people who think, oh, for goodness sakes, move on.
Yeah.
And there is no moving on. And I think if we really, like, take a moment, and this is the part that people don't want to do, and that is to imagine if it was your child. No one wants to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to judge the people who are grieving so rawly and deeply and say, I think they need to do something about this. Instead of saying, like, you know, you'd be lucky to get out of bed if it was your child.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? And so... yeah, I mean, I have learned I think that's one of the biggest pieces. And with the holidays coming, like, in a lot of ways, it's more difficult for the families. But in a lot of ways, next January on the 5th could be hard because it's just hard.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, as I've watched this, I have thought that for the fairy godmother families, it does show that you don't get over it,
right? Absolutely.
And not that it makes your situation any better, but in a way you look at it and you just say, you know what, we're dealing, because so often you just feel like nobody else feels like this, nobody else is going through this, and to see this, you do feel like, you know, we're like everybody else.
Right. Absolutely. I think one of the things too about the holidays that's hard is we were talking a little before the show started about this, but there's so many decisions to be made in it. Do we hang the child stocking?
Yeah.
Do we leave it? Do we have a place set for the child? Do we do this? Do we do that? How will that be received by the family, the other family members that are coming? And there's so many pieces to it that are so complicated, but so individual. What works for one family and what feels right for them and what feels good for them is not the same as the family next to them.
And even within the family.
No.
So I've heard of situations where in-laws are like,
Let's not do that.
Yes,
yes, I know. Yeah, absolutely.
And so you see that. I mean, everybody grieves and everybody handles it differently.
Yeah. And I sat with one of the things that we're trying to do as an organization is connect our families after a child dies. And 2 weeks ago, no, it was only a week ago, one of our newest mom, her daughter passed away on November 10th. And she had told me that she wanted a week to just be, but then she wanted to get together for coffee. So, you know me, Ted, that week passes and I send her a text. And
I'm like, of course you did.
Yeah. Hey, time for coffee.
It's a week and, afterwards.
Yes. And I said, and would you like me to get together? Would you like me to get some of the other Stargazer moms or other moms who are bereaved? And she said, yes. So we got together for coffee. There were five moms and listening to them talk. And I just kind of sit there and sort of facilitate, but not even really. But, you know, they all are experiencing it differently. One cleaned out their child's room immediately.
Right.
One waited 7 years. One, and you know what? Every one of them, how they did it, is totally okay.
Right.
It's their way, and it's the right way for them. But people can't help but to judge it. Oh, I don't think she should have done that.
Yeah.
Really? Are you in those shoes?
Mm-hmm.
Is it your heart? Did you hear why she did it? You know, one mom was talking about how she... her daughter shared a room with her other daughter. And the other daughter was like, listen, it's too much for me to look at her empty bed.
Right.
So they did it very quickly. And that, and to me, makes perfect sense. But it's the kind of thing that somebody's going to say, don't you think it was a little too soon to do that?
Yeah.
Because everybody's got an opinion, but really nobody really gets an opinion in this situation.
I was just going to say, it does take some. It's just like sometimes you need to step back and not post something on Facebook.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and always in this situation,
you have no idea.
Don't assume you know.
Yeah. And it's the same even with our families that are currently in treatment. How they choose to do things is totally up to them. It's not your business.
Yeah.
It's not my business. They choose an alternative treatment. Not my business. I'm not a doctor.
Yep.
All I'm there to do is provide support. And that's all anyone should be unless they actually are the child's doctor. But otherwise, you should just be loving them through it.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. Andy McConnell here with Fairy Godmother Project. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell here with the Fairy Godmother Project as we talk about the organization. They help families with pediatric cancer. Before we get off the bushes and move on to other things, that just added so much to the story. And like you say, just to think it was that many years,
right?
And
still
it was so fresh.
Yep, exactly. And I think that's something that people forget. So, I mean, I'm not saying one grief is worse than another, but I am. And, you know, I love, like, my grandmother died and I loved her. I mean, she was one of the most amazing women I have ever met. If I could be half of the person she was, I will be thrilled. Just absolutely amazing. And I was devastated when she died. I mean, devastated. I remember I was pregnant with my son and like lying in bed and just bawling my eyes out, just a mess for a very long time. But it's been, 13 years and, 14 years. See, there you go. You don't forget
when
it's your kid.
Yeah.
And I miss her. I wish she met my children and all of those things. But when I wake up in the morning, my first thought isn't, I can't believe grandma's gone.
Mm-hmm.
When I am feeling joy in my home and I'm with my children and I'm watching my son play basketball, I'm not thinking, I can't believe that my grandma's not having the opportunity to watch this.
Yeah.
But our parents, that's what it is. Within all that joy, and in some ways, families who lose a child learn to feel joy in a very different way, because it's a little bit more intense from the standpoint of they've felt such a great depth of loss. So when they feel joy, I think there's a relief in it, like, oh, I can feel some joy. But then there's this little nudge of guilt. Oh, but my child's dead. How can I feel joy? Right. And so it's so much more complicated, you know, than people think. And even like losing anyone else, you know, there is, it's just different. It can come and it can go. And the other part too is people make assumptions and share those assumptions with the families, like, well, the first year is going to be the hardest, but once you get past that, it's going to get better. And what I hear from our families is the second year is harder. And some of that is because they've been told it's not going to be, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then also the first Christmas, that's a huge deal. First holidays. But in some ways, I think sometimes a lot of the families are still sort of numb. So it's that second holiday that can really, you know, punch them in the gut. And then it's like, well, the third Christmas won't be hard. Oh, guess what? Third Christmas, still hard. It might even be harder than the first. There is no definitive on how it goes.
No, like we said, everybody's different. And then you especially run into when it's for kids, when as their friends grow up.
Yeah.
And they start experiencing things, and you know you're not going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that, I have a really good friend, and I think anytime we talk about loss, I bring this up, but she had a child die when he was 15. And she's in her 70s. Oh my gosh, is she in her 70s? I'm sorry I said that. Maybe she's only 70. Maybe not in them.
In them.
Well, but anyway.
Early.
Yes, and she still talks about, you know, there's all these joyful things in her family, her other children getting married, mm-hmm. grandchildren. But there's always that nudge that David should be here. He should be married. He should have children. He should be enjoying being an uncle. And he's not. And 20, this is 25 years later. And yeah. It's still there. It's still present. He's still missed in a very different way than I think, you know, than like, you know, Bush, who just died. He was 94. He's going to be missed a lot. But it was the normal order of things.
Yeah.
It's how it should have gone. I mean, he lived beyond what most people live,
yes,
you know,
and
which
that.
Isn't to say that his family isn't grieving and isn't sad, but it's so different than when they lost
different.
Robin
yeah.
when she was three. And then they had to live, you know, he had to live however many years, probably a good 70 years without his daughter and wondering what she would have been.
And you never forget, I told you 2 days ago was mm-hmm. when my son in 2000 was diagnosed. Mm-hmm. I can tell you from December 1st, it was a Friday, to December 5th, every day, what the weather was like, where I was. And then on December 5th, I got a call at 3. I did, you know, I can go through every day, really for the first 10 days
yeah.
of just every day. And families relive that.
Absolutely.
You never forget that.
Yeah, and it's huge. And even when we first started talking and you said the date, and I said, see, like,
yeah.
you still remember that date. And how many years has it been?
Yeah.
Right?
18.
Yeah.
And it's still every year
you remember his diagnosis. You remember what you did, what you could have done differently. It brings back all of those emotions.
Yeah.
And like we said, there's so many layers to a pediatric cancer diagnosis, whether or not the child is a survivor or whether or not the child dies. There are so many layers of emotion, of coping, of handling, of what it does to a family from a grief standpoint, what it does financially to a family. Mm. I mean, it is so huge. It's so much bigger than I ever imagined. Like when I started the organization, I really was like, well, this would be really nice. Like these people could use a little help, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, a little pat on the back.
Yeah, and here's a nice little gift card for you. And then I suddenly am being, you know, kind of intimately in these families' homes, seeing the depth of what it does to their family, what it does to the siblings, what it does to them financially, what it does to have a kid who is on steroids and is angry and demanding and hungry, you know? And you're like, it's so much more.
Our first
more.
Christmas, we were not ready for that.
Right? How could you be? Yeah.
It was so cold, we put the turkey out on the deck. And he kept going out there, and we went to go get it to have it the next day for a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it was gone because he'd been going out and getting it because he was so hungry.
Right. Yes.
And so everybody, the other kids don't know, and they're like, "Why would you do that?"
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, especially if it's the holidays.
Yeah.
If you get diagnosed during the holidays, well, any time is bad because
but I think the holidays, what happens there is there's the children and the family, there's an expectation of this joyful holiday season.
Yeah.
And then suddenly everything in their home is shifted. So if it's shifted in February when there's not much happening, it would still be super, super hard. But then when it happens during the holidays, suddenly it's like, wait, what do you mean our traditions can't be upheld this year?
We can't all
hold on a minute. What about me? Yeah. And that's when you end up with kids that are in their 20s and they're like, you know, you did not give me enough attention.
Yeah, and that does happen.
Absolutely.
I'm exhibit A of where they still are. You didn't,
right?
You didn't come to – I was the star of the Christmas program and you weren't there.
Right. And you said like, well, that's because I didn't really like you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean –
so
but
does.
Isn't it amazing how it does that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what do you do about that? Like – how do you make a child understand? And they won't understand until their parents.
Yes.
That's when they'll get it. That's when they'll understand that, like, when you are a parent, you know, you have to look at things and go, this right here is most important. And for you guys as a couple and as a family, John and his treatment were the most important thing in the moment. And yeah, if John hadn't been sick, the most important thing in that moment would have been that you were the star. But you had to go down a little notch just for that. Sorry, you know, but when you're a kid, you don't get that.
No.
I mean, I think about like being a kid, and I mean, I spent a lot of years really bitter that my parents chose to have a third child because I was the youngest, I was the baby, and why would they want more?
Right.
You know? And like a lot of bitterness there, and there was nothing major happening in my house, you know? And like my sister broke her arm, and I was like, oh, look at all the attention she's getting.
Right.
You know? And like that was such a short-lived, she had surgery one time, and it was like, she got a Barbie. What am I getting? You know?
Come he's getting all the, why are people bringing him stuff?
Yeah, that's not fair. But you're a kid and you're so self, you know, like it's self-focused. You don't know and you don't realize how your parents are really just keeping it together and trying the best they can to keep everyone happy and they just can't. Especially when they have a kid like me who's a brat. Lucky that we didn't have anything more serious than my sister's arm break.
This is very, I'm learning a lot. I'm a lot of levels right now. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're talking about the Fairy Godmother Project this morning. FairyGodmotherProject.org, the website. More with Andy McConnell on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking about Fairy Godmother Project this morning with Andy McConnell from the Fairy Godmother Project. FairyGodmotherProject.org will give you all kinds of information on ways you can get involved and donate and just see what they do. You know, this is a really good show. Some shows just come together, and usually at the end of the year, starting now until the end of the year, we'll do a number of shows dealing with different. We've never done this, and we'll have to start doing it in December because just so many things happen this time of year, especially with older parents and that kind of thing.
But absolutely,
this really is the type of thing you made up. I think it was the Fairy Godmother Project Facebook page. I'm not sure, but somebody posted a picture. Of their childhood past, and you just talked about how pretty she looked.
Yeah.
And that really touched me because I thought that kind of thing, just like, I mean, you've really taught me in the families you've brought in about saying the name of the child.
Yeah.
I used to never want, I just thought, I don't want to do that.
Right. It's so important to say the name. And one of the things that I've learned too, so at the ball, we did a whole, I talked about each child. And the lesson that each child had taught me over the course of the time since we started the organization, every child who had died. And it was really, really, really brutal. Beautiful, but brutal.
Yeah.
And afterward, one of the moms, who is not a public speaker, took the mic and said a few words to me and gave me a gift. And the gift was a bracelet. And I didn't wear it today because it makes noise. But in the card, she said, thank you for grieving our children with us. And I've thought about that so many times because that's really exactly what I do. It's like right alongside them. I watch them grieve their children, but it's almost like I grieve that this person I care so much about is grieving their child, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so when I see, I know it's so important for those families if, you know, a mom who's a friend or even if she's not a friend posts a picture of her child saying, you know, I miss her and look at this picture I found. It's important to acknowledge that, not to ignore it. And because someone doesn't put that out there if they aren't looking for something, you know, needing something.
Right. No, and I looked at that when you wrote, she's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's like saying the name, and that's just to acknowledge that, that that's a cute picture.
And she mattered.
Right.
She mattered, and she still matters.
You miss her, and I miss her, too.
Mm-hmm. And I think I actually said that.
You did say, I miss her. I still, yes.
It was Lily, I think.
Yeah.
Picture of Lily. And her mom had actually sent me a picture the day before that she had come across and that she knew I had never seen before of Lily. She's like, isn't this such a beautiful picture of Lily? And I had just gone to Lily's, I go to visit Lily at sunset regularly.
Yeah.
Because I made a commitment to myself and to her that if I drive on Route 1 and it's sunny, that I will stop and see her.
Hmm.
And so I go. The other day I had my girls with me. I'm like, hey, sorry, we've got to go to the cemetery and visit Lily. And they're like, that's okay. You know, so I went in and did my usual thing. We were on our way someplace. But yeah, so then Melanie had sent me a picture of her, which is, it's nice for me because I continue to get to know these children even though they're gone. So I see new photos of them. I learn new things about them after the fact. And so it's like I'm growing to know and love these children that have already passed through the relationships that I'm developing with their parents. So it's kind of an interesting, I learn more and more and more about them, you know. And like my rule with Melanie is she's supposed to tell me a story I've never heard about Lily every single time I see her. And if she doesn't have one, then she usually will, like in the past, she's actually brought photos to show me instead.
Yeah.
So.
What a nice thing just to stop by. And while it's important to say things and to do that, it's also important to know not to say just some insensitive things.
Yes.
And I've heard in here just a number of things. I dealt with one time when I've told you the story that someone a few weeks into things, and I had just been coming back from MCV, and a neighbor called up and just said, you know, hey, how's he doing? You know, I guess you know that this has happened because you've got some sin in your life.
Right.
And I still live with that of where I was – I very politely said thank you and hung up.
Right.
And I never spoke to him
again.
You didn't
say like, well, look at you, Mr. Judgmental.
Yes.
You got some sin too.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
better get to the doctor.
It's just – it's those kind of things.
I know.
They just come across as – they're so mean-spirited
right.
in a way.
And that is truly mean-spirited. And that, fortunately, I don't hear as many of those mean-spirited things from our families. I mean, that's probably one of the worst things I've ever heard. The other things are just kind of like,
I think
dumb.
Right, and I think you're struggling to say
yes,
something.
Yes, I can't say the right thing, so I'm going to say whatever comes. And
because
then,
I think I've probably at times said something and
right.
I thought, I wish I hadn't said
and
that.
And then you're like, oh, that can't come back into my mouth. I sure wish it could.
Yeah.
And we have... which I can't say the whole story on the radio because of some of the language involved. But one time when Lily was dying, I said to her grandmother, how are you?
Yeah.
And then I stopped myself and I said, well, that was one of the stupidest questions I've ever asked.
Right.
And then it became a joke and she replied with something and then we laughed. And then every time we would see each other, we would be like, so are you blank, 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 you know?
Yeah.
But like acknowledging your stupidity is an amazing thing to do for somebody, you know, like being able to like when you realize rather than making it even more uncomfortable when you say something that is probably not the right thing to say, acknowledge like, I just didn't know what to say. That probably wasn't what you wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Boom. Done. Wow. They look at you and go, oh, wow. Okay. They're not a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, they just are just really struggling. And the other thing that I hear so much from our moms, especially, is pity. The look of pity on people's faces.
Yes.
And I mean, I think I've heard it from every one of them. Like if one more person looks at me with pity, I remember Lily's mom used to say that to me, like, I get it. Like, you don't want to be me. You don't want to be the woman whose child died, but I'm still me. And so when you look at her like, oh, you know, poor thing.
Or I don't know how you do it.
Yes, that's not a good one. It's what people think they should say.
Right. And because we would always say to each other afterwards, you know what? We're not Superman. We're not doing anything other than any other parent. If you were in the situation, you do the same thing.
You just have to do it.
You just put your foot in front of the other and you carry on.
And I think that's so true of the families that are in treatment. And then also one of the other things that a mom told me about people saying to her son has leukemia, and they would say, well, I mean, at least it's leukemia, you know?
Yeah. Or.
Yeah.
Because, in our case, there's a 70% chance. Whew. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And you're thinking.
Because who's going to be in the 30?
Right. There's still 30.
And it's still your kid.
And even today, because I find myself that I don't say to someone, well, it was 70 then, it's 90 now. Boy, that's good. Because I know you're thinking.
There's still that 10%.
There's still 10%.
Yes. And it's your child. It's not your dog. Not the dogs aren't great. Love my puppy. But it's your child. And when you know that there is a 10% chance, the fear probably doesn't lessen all that much, that it's only, quote-unquote, 10% chance that they'll die.
Yeah.
No, still fighting for their lives. Either way, still fighting to be in the 90.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people don't think about that. But what she said was somebody finally said to her, you know, she told this person who was like an acquaintance who had kind of become a friend, and the woman's response was more or less like, well, that blankety-blank sucks. And she said, oh, my God. It does suck. It does. This is awful. Thank you. And she's like, that was the best thing anyone could have said to me. I felt validated. I didn't feel like she diminished my feelings. You know, she's like, I felt validated. Yes, this is hard. And it's not easier just because it's only leukemia. And that is not even, you know, we've known kids die from leukemia.
Yeah.
You know?
Still.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, as a parent who has dealt with when parents, and I've seen this with Fairy Godmother Project, where, like you said, I mean, everybody sticks together, and there is an understanding that a person who's gone through it, that you can help others, as great as the things that you're able to do, and they're terrific, and you do understand because you have seen things that most of us haven't seen. But there is something I know with us when people would come who didn't even have to have leukemia but had were dealing with diseases, and they'd give you like a phone card. Back in that day, it was just like gold, where you could just go to a payphone and use a phone card.
Right.
You understand things that are going on, and you can help in different ways, and that's where Fairy Godmother Project really has helped, where everyone sticks, everyone is willing to help, even though everybody, like we said earlier, deals with it differently, but there are, you know, you do have an understanding.
We have an understanding, but I also have an understanding that I don't have an understanding. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps too. So I don't go into it ever like, well, I know, because I don't know.
Yeah. No, you always say that.
Yeah. I don't know because I haven't faced cancer. But also, even our kids, like right now we have three kids with the same diagnosis, of brain cancer, glioblastoma. But every one of their treatments is different.
Yeah.
Every one of their tumors is different. They're different ages. There's a girl and two boys. You know, everything is different. And so
they all respond differently.
Yeah. And I had a volunteer ask recently, like, if I could, you know, did I have like sort of an information packet essentially for her about what to expect for this family's treatment? And I said, I have no idea. There is no way for me to know which treatment they chose.
Mm-hmm.
There's no idea for me to know how the child will respond to it. So even if they're on a schedule, like they're going to have, you know, chemo every 3 weeks, if on that third week when it's time again, their numbers are down, they're not going to be able to get treatment. And so that's going to delay it by a week. And there's so many factors.
Yeah.
And like we said earlier, so many layers emotionally, medically, not one family that I've seen at this point go through treatment has had the same experience as another. Not even similar.
Yeah.
Half the time they're not even similar because the kids' ages are so different, because the child's age is different, the siblings' ages are different, how the family responds as a unit is different. I mean, it is just every single experience is totally, completely different. But I think the best thing people can do is truly be present and empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
But empathy is one of the hardest things for human beings.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. And you don't, like you said earlier, you don't want it to just always be pity.
Right.
And you have to work on that.
Right. And there's a difference. Yeah. And that's something I was just thinking about the other day, like, oh gosh, I hope I don't do the pity thing. And another thing that parents say, so this is a good one, a good reminder, especially at the holidays. It's okay to like feel sad about a child dying too, you know, but the last thing a mom or a dad wants to have to do is comfort you about their child dying.
Mm. Yeah. That's a wow.
And there's lots of stories of that, you know, sort of in the circle of people of, you know, the friend or the family member that is just so undone. And suddenly this mom whose daughter died or son died 6 days before or 3 days, before, whatever it is like somehow like trying to pat their back and comfort them, you know? And that is something like it is sad and it is hard, but keep it together, people.
Yeah.
No, I say that, but the mom sort of teased me because I'm always like fighting back tears. And they're like, well, it's you. And I'm like, I know, but like I'm not following the rules here. But yeah. And I think people, so much of it is about our own discomfort leads to making bad decisions and saying the wrong things.
It is, yeah.
And it's like that fear, like, oh, what if I say the wrong thing? What if I say the wrong thing?
Or I need to say something.
Yes.
And it's just like sometimes when you're told, I mean, I think one of the greatest pieces of advice I ever got was sometimes to just say, if you don't know what to say, just say, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Or say nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a tendency to say, this is really awful.
Yeah.
I don't know what to
and
say.
And it is, right. And it is, but for you to acknowledge that, it shows, I think, to the family that you do understand.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't. And I'm so glad I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can see it probably, you know, like in levels of understanding, I probably understand child loss more than the average person. But I don't live it, thankfully. You know, I don't live it. And when I look at them living it, I think I could do it if I had to.
You, of course you could.
But it's the last thing on the
the
list of things to do that I'd ever want to have to face.
Well, the Fairy Godmother Project is just tremendous things in this area. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. Andy McConnell here. We're going to wrap this up when we come back. Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Chu.
Andy McConnell here with the Fairy Godmother Project. You've got a number of things. You always have events going on.
Yes. Yeah, we have quite a few things being done sort of for us right now in the community, which is really nice. There's the 18th annual Supper with Santa at Kid Station. It's through Mary Washington
Healthcare. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And so we're the beneficiary of that. So that's actually tonight from 5 to 7. So that should be exciting. We also we're lucky enough to be the beneficiary of the Stakeout for Charity this month at Sedona. So we have five Mondays. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so it's steak or salmon for $8. $1 comes back to the charity. And if you're going to do dinner, highly recommend Call Head Seating. I called last week, and when I called, it was like 3:30 in the afternoon. I thought I was like being really smart. I had 5 hours before I could get there.
Oh,
they're
wow.
like, you could seat you around 8 or 8:30. I was like, I have kids that need to be in bed then. So, but anyway, if you're planning to go, call ahead.
Call ahead.
And then Dr. Rick's Piano Bar. It's a local man. He's been doing these. He was doing them for a while, Casillas, and now he's doing them at the new place that the name I'm not sure how to pronounce, which is really helpful. But it's at 919 Caroline Street, Curtiba Art Cafe. Is that what it is? Is that how you say
it? I don't know if that's how you say it or not, but we'll
say
it.
Great promotion for your business. There'll be a guitarist also.
Okay.
And so that will benefit us. And that is next Thursday. And then we also are part of the Fredericksburg Christmas Tree Challenge over at Pohanka Nissan. And the Spotsylvania Sheriff's Department was nice enough to make
that.
Us a – Yes, they made us a nice tree. And so if you go over there, if you happen to be by there – You know, just vote and
you can vote
put
and
us down. And,
yeah.
And it's a beautiful tree. They did a great job. And I think that's all we have happening in the next week.
Yeah. Yeah. but through the year. And again, if It's the kind of thing where, you know, we talk about where we all know someone with cancer, and it's gotten to the point now where if you've got kids in school, you probably know somebody who's in treatment or going through something. And, you know, check out fairygodmotherproject.org, and then the Facebook page always has good information
and what's going on. Yeah, and if somebody knows of somebody that's facing cancer, pediatric cancer, send them our way. Like, we are budgeted to support more families than we're currently supporting. We have the ability to do it. We have the resources. We have the volunteers. We're ready.
It's been exciting to see how it has grown. And it was exciting in, when was it, October, where was you would see the businesses that had the...
Oh, in September.
September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, the Heart of Gold campaign.
Yeah.
Yes,
of course it was September.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, Ted.
I should know that. September 1st is when we always do a
show.
We do a show.
Yes, we do. It's
we've
super
done
fun.
Several that are memorable.
Yeah.
But... No, to see the number of businesses involved.
Yeah, it was great. And actually, that was I had high school interns that did all of that work. They went around to businesses downtown and asked.
And they made a big deal. I know you had a group at Massaponics High School that
Ellie Butler was spearheading that. I've known Ellie since she was four. She's a sophomore there. And she raised money. She sold shirts that said Massaponics have a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to get her in here to talk. She is one heck of a cool kid.
Oh, she is just
driven.
Yeah.
She just decided she cared about it, and she wanted to go with it, and just completely ran with it. She's done an amazing job, along with some other people at the school. So,
well, hopefully, this conversation today has given some people ideas of things to say or not to say,
or maybe just keep their mouths closed.
if just that,
right?
Because
don't say it.
You don't want to be that person who's story always comes back, because every family has that story.
Yes, absolutely, right.
And you may have meant nothing by it,
right?
But years later. The families will
always remember it. Like the one family that we both know that talked about how when they shared that their daughter had died, someone said to them, well, I guess it's better than losing a pet.
Right. How do you
ever take the two?
Right. How do you
and
say
it,
that?
The one thing about it is it has made for a funny story.
Yeah.
We have laughed about it many times. But at the same time, I mean, the person was serious.
Yeah. So that's what, so if I guess that is really the thing to take away from this show. If you think it at all comes close, don't say it.
Right. If you think that, is this going to offend? I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And if you think your face looks pity-filled.
And don't be pity-filled.
No.
No.
Instead, greet them like you would have any other time.
And just, and if nothing else but is, boy, this is tough. I'm so sorry.
We have a mom who jokes that she wanted to wear different pins. That one would say, like, yes, my daughter died. No, I don't need you to pity me. You know, like, like one of the moms, like, let's make a line of pins. We can sell them and wear them, you know.
It is, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, thank you. And again, thank you for what you do in the community. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. It is a great organization. That's it for Town Talk. See you Monday on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.